On this special edition of the 511 News, we are going to be talking about Megan Fox being taken on a trip with her new devil-worshipping boyfriend, Machine Gun Kelly, as she describes experiencing hell for all eternity. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 511 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 511 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we are going to be discussing a recent interview that actress Megan Fox did on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, where she discusses what it was like when she used the hallucinogenic ayahuasca.
You had just come back from Costa Rica?
Yeah, not long ago. We went to, do you guys know what ayahuasca is?
Oh, yes! Oh, come on, this is Jimmy Kimmel's audience. Y'all know ayahuasca.
So, Colson and I went to Costa Rica together to do like a really deep...
And I don't mean to interrupt you, but Colson is Machine Gun Kelly. Y'all call him Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah.
But at the crib, she's not, you want a bottle of water, Machine Gun? Yes, Colson.
So we went to Costa Rica to do ayahuasca, like in a proper setting, like with indigenous people. And we were in the middle of the jungle. And I was thinking, because the place we went, there's a lot of people, like, I don't know if LeBron James has ever gone, but it's like a place where, like, they're like, these kinds of people go here to do ayahuasca. So I was thinking it was like glamping or something like that. Still going to be like some kind of five-star experience. And you get there and you really are in the middle of the jungle and you don't get to eat after like 1 p.m. You have to walk a very far distance to get your water. You can't shower because they're in a drought, so you can't use the water, obviously. Like, you need to respect the rainforest. Mm-hmm. Nothing glamorous about it. It's all a part of sort of making you vulnerable so that you surrender to the experience. And the entire thing starts with something called vomitivo. I hope I'm allowed to divulge this, that it's okay that I share, but I'm encouraging it. So you go, and we were with 20 other strangers, and you all line up at like the edge of the rainforest over this weird fence, and you go 3x3 and you drink lemongrass tea until you, like, by not your own volition, just vomit everything out of your body. So
you have to vomit. There's no way around that.
You can't get out of it. And you have to vomit a certain amount before they let you get back with everybody. So you're like cheering on everyone as they like throw up. And as like what we do, obviously, we were like, I don't know. Am I ready to just like throw up in front of all of these people? But it's such a good bonding experience. And I know it sounds crazy, but that gets you ready to then go into the ceremony that night, because you're like, my vanity is gone. I've just done this in front of all of these strangers. I'm like, now I'm ready to like really open up. So we did it for three nights. It was incredibly intense. Everybody's journey is different. The second night I went to hell for eternity. Yeah.
What is sad is that they believe this is some sort of form of therapy, but really what is happening is that they're opening themselves up to the demonic realm. Without a doubt, that is what is going on there. And she said the words, surrender to the experience. And the sad thing is, the thing that she is surrendering to, when, and anyone who is using these hallucinogenics, what they are experiencing and what they're surrendering to is the demonic realm. And it's heartbreaking, because I actually know someone who went to do this. And in fact, they were a MMA fighter, and they wanted to get rid of their anxiety. And so their coach decided, let's go on this trip and let's do some ayahuasca. And that person was undefeated in MMA at the time and so forth. And I had had a number of conversations with him, had done grappling with him over the years. And the next thing I knew, that man had lost his mind, and he is now homeless to this day, as far as I know. And he lost his mind on that trip, and it never came back. And this is beyond dangerous. You hear the nature of it, this vomiting together, the fact that there are a bunch of celebrities going out and doing this, the fact that there are a ton of people, guys like Joe Rogan and so forth, that talk about this stuff as if it's normative to do it, not recognizing the dangers behind it. It is really, really upsetting. And to think that she actually says she experienced hell during this, and yet guess what? It brought her nowhere closer to the Lord. There wasn't a fear of the Lord that came because she did this trip and realized, I need to get right. She is with a man in Machine Gun Kelly, who we're going to talk about in this episode, that is quite overtly satanic. And when I call him a devil worshiper, those aren't even my words. And I will show you who has said quite clearly that Machine Gun Kelly, the rapper that is also for short known as MGK, who she calls Coulson, that he is indeed a devil worshiper. And I wanted to talk a little bit about Megan Fox specifically, because she had done an interview in 2013 with Esquire when she was the cover girl. And she had even lamented about being a quote unquote sex symbol, although she had done lesbian scenes and dressed provocatively for plenty of films at the time. One of the things she brought up was that she was a regular attendee of church. In fact, she had grown up in a Pentecostal background, and she believed she had the gift of tongues. And she even said, and I'm going to quote her, that she was embarrassed at her new church that she attended regularly while living in Hollywood and being provocative in her movies and so forth. She was attending church regularly and says this, quote, "I've seen magical, crazy things happen. I've seen people healed. Even now, in the church I go to, during praise and worship, I could feel that I was maybe getting ready to speak in tongues, and I'd have to shut it off because I don't know what that church would do if I started screaming out in tongues in the back." Interestingly enough, she thinks she has the gift of tongues while walking completely in sin. And then now, with an overt, as I said, an overt Satanist, and not only a Satanist, Mr. Machine Gun Kelly, he actually talks about specifically the practice of automatic writing. When he's talking about his most recent album, for an interview he did with Nylon, he said this, "I'm connecting with a different dimension or higher frequency that's just feeding creativity effortlessly. The songs just show up where we listen to them and after are like, blank, where did that come from?" And this is the practice known as automatic writing. And it's something that in the occult they have been doing for a number of years. And in fact, whether you talk about the Beatles or the Rolling Stones or many of those famous artists, Jim Morrison, The Doors, Led Zeppelin, they talk about this spirit that overcomes them, as well as Beyonce and so forth. And automatic writing, according to the New World Encyclopedia, is described as this. It is the process or product of writing without using the conscious mind. The technique is often practiced while the person writing is in a trance state. Others are fully awake, alert, and aware of all their surroundings, but not of the actions of their writing hand. Automatic writing has been predominantly used in spiritualism or the New Age movement as a method of channeling spirits and has often been a part of seances. And guess what? When Machine Gun Kelly described naming his own album, Diablo Hotel, he actually describes exactly how he got that name.
My subconscious was picking that image for like the whole process of the album. I was always like, this picture. And no one was feeling me, and everyone wanted to do a hotel. And I was like, guys, like, Hotel Diablo is not a literal hotel.
Right.
You know, if any of the visuals that you see, I mean, I just actually put one out, but it's always like unlocking a piece of your mind, right? Like, that's,
I was going to say, it's where you are currently staying.
Yeah, it couldn't say it better. And, you know, especially when in a lot of the transfers of the videos, like, I think I'm okay, or Candy, it'll always go through that little bald patch in the back of my head that says where the Hotel Diablo's tatted on, because it's just, I mean, I'm kind of just giving away the metaphor that it's like.
Yeah, I mean, you can hear it from his own lips and see where he's getting these things. And the very subconscious mind he thinks he's talking to and so forth, or is doing the writing or the creative work for him, guess what it's leading him to? It's leading him to wear Baphomet ring fingers. It's leading him quite clearly to do some very overtly satanic things. In fact, when he talked about on his Instagram, I believe it was 3 days out from the album, he talks about that he's about to open up and be taken in basically into the Diablo Hotel. And he uses the imagery of basically demons pulling him into the Diablo Hotel. And the not just the artwork for the album, but also some of the merchandise that he's selling, you'll see quite clearly, is just enamored with satanic imagery. You have keys that have 666 on them. You have him tattooing 53666 on him. The spirit, the subconscious, is leading him quite clearly down the rope of the devil. And what's sad is he has brought alongside him Megan Fox as well, taking her out for her ayahuasca trip, using drugs and alcohol for the creative process. In fact, when he was doing an interview with Complex and he was talking specifically about his drug use, one of the things that happened in that interview is they asked him basically, are you ever going to quit? And in that interview, he goes on to say that specifically he won't stop using because of the creative nature he has when he is using. So when you put these things together, recognize Satan's fingerprint here, because it was the Satanist, the father of modern day Satanism, Aleister Crowley, who prescribed using drugs and alcohol to open yourself up to the demonic realm. Remember, it was the word, it's the word of God itself that says in 1 Peter 5:8 that you need to be sober and vigilant because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Remember that it is in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 31 through 35, that we see quite clearly that the viper that is liquor will come into people and then it will cause them not to remember what happened, cause them to get into fights, may them speak waywardness out of their mouth. This is what happens. And in Aleister Crowley's poem, Leah Sublime, found in Diary of a Drug Fiend, he says this: stab your demoniac smile to my brain. How do you do that? Soak me in cognac, blank, and cocaine. Guys, this is how you open yourself up to the demonic realm through drugs. You think it's the creative mind and process that is doing this? Really, what is happening is Satan is taking over. His minions are taking over. This is why these things are pushed over and over again. I can show you from not just the 1960s, but prior to that, over and over again, Satan's thread, the same thing he's been pushing: do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. And remember that Aleister Crowley admitted in his own autobiography, in Confessions, that he had gone over to Satan's side. And he says, until this hour, I cannot tell why. He wanted to be Satan's chief of staff. People that tell you that, oh, he was just using Satan as imagery, you know, he wasn't really believing in Satan. That's his autobiography toward the end of his life. And he's saying he doesn't know why he chose Satan's side. Remember that when someone tries to bring up these untruths about what Aleister Crowley was truly worshiping, when he called himself the beast, the master Therion, when he said that this age would be like the age of Horus. And we see over and over again, the Egyptology, the eyes in the triangle, all the satanic imagery that is pushed by so many of these artists, the spirit behind the age, as Revelation says quite clearly that in the end times, it will be described as in the spirit of Sodom and Egypt, the sexual promiscuity matched alongside the Egyptology, matched alongside the picture that we have back in the book of Exodus. But not only did Aleister Crowley talk about that in his poetry, but specifically, even Lancaster University professor Christopher Partridge points out that he used drugs for this, quote, the loosening of the girders. And I'll quote directly from the article. For example, concerning the experience of astral projection, Crowley recommends that it, quote, should be preceded by a ceremonial loosening of the girders of the soul. How to do it is a great problem. I'm inclined to believe that it is in drugs. You see, Crowley knew that using drugs and getting people not sober will open themselves up to the demonic realm. over and over again. And this is exactly what Machine Gun Kelly is saying is happening when he's coming to his lyrics, using drugs, alcohol, and all of these things to bring out the creative process. But truly what he's bringing out is the demonic. And millions of fans are falling for this. Obviously, Megan Fox has fallen for it. And now she is going to use these hallucinogenic drugs to feel eternal hellfire, but then not repent and come to him. And guys, don't think that so many of your favorite artists, if you're not a believer, or if you're someone who is a believer who's still listening to this stuff, I want to encourage you. They have been using Crowleyan sex magic, so many of them, in order to further their careers. It is not an accident. That is not even something hidden. In fact, Steven Tyler of Aerosmith said this, "I've practiced Crowley magic," speaking of sex magic, "so I know it works." And he specifically talks about how he would try to do this with other women. And remember, it's sex magic, guys, and I don't want to go into the details, but the facts are is that he believes this in the same interview, quote, "namely, as he would pray in this sex magic, this satanic magic," said, "namely, he would pray that Aerosmith would become the greatest American band." And that's exactly what happened. Aerosmith is one of the biggest bands of all time in America. So many kids these days are still walking around with Aerosmith t-shirts and so forth and listening to their music, not realizing the satanic hand behind it all. What's sad is, though, the end game for all this, as Crowley died a miserable drug addicted life, in a miserable drug addicted state. And it's the promise that is continued to given that you are given freedom, right? Because you can just do what thou wilt. This egotistical, satanic lie that you just be your own person, believe your own truth, just do what you want to do, right? And nowadays, if you have a conversation on the streets, you say, hey, it's you do you and I do me, whatever's good for you and whatever's good for me. And truly, this has been Satan's lie, because what we're supposed to do on this earth is God's will, not my will, but God's will. And what is sad is that people make their own prisons and they dig their own grave thinking that it's freedom. And what the Bible describes in 2 Peter chapter 2 is that even the false people, the false prophets, those liars who tell you that this is freedom, they themselves are slaves to corruption. And what happens for Machine Gun Kelly? What happens for Megan Fox? What happens for Steven Tyler? What happens to Mick Jagger? And John Lennon, who has passed, and some others, what happens over and over and over again is we see that quite clearly these guys are in a prison. And this is not even before they actually get to their ultimate waiting place that is waiting for them if they do not repent. And that is hell for all eternity. And sadly enough, it is interesting, as I used in the very beginning of this, the very wordage that was not my own, that Machine Gun Kelly, or short MGK, is actually a devil worshiper. Because MGK was in somewhat of a rap battle back and forth, making different diss tracks alongside the people that self-proclaimed, I guess, more self-proclaimed than other people, even though other people call him that too, the self-proclaimed rap god, Eminem, had stated in a song, these very words, "But when they ask me, is the war finished with MGK? Of course it is. I cleansed him of his mortal sins. I'm God. And the Lord forgives even the devil worshipers." Even Eminem, somebody who is in his own prison, which I am going to be playing right here, so you can hear with his own lips the prison that Eminem is in, even he calls MGK, or Machine Gun Kelly, a devil worshiper. "If I could go back, I never would have rapped. I sold my soul to the devil, I'll never get it back. I'm possessed by evil demons that torture me while I'm sleeping. I keep dreaming of death and I'm hearing people screaming. The devil's spirit trapped inside me and I want it out. It got silent, then all these voices said, go, follow me into the gates of hell." As you can clearly see, Eminem knows the very prison he's in. He knows what he has done in selling his soul over to Satan. And the sad thing is what scripture tells us quite clearly is, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit or lose his soul? What can a man exchange for his soul? And all the fame and all the rock and everything that they get to have, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll, something that MGK has tattooed on his body, are the very things that are the prison, the very things that he is chained by. And you could watch interview after interview, as I've done myself, watching him, and it's absolutely heartbreaking. Not only him, but Eminem and so many of them, they are in bondage. And even their own fame is a bondage. Many of them are recluse. They hide in their houses. They know that paparazzi are going to be every single place they turn. Not even their own friends can they trust. Over and over again, this is the reality of the stardom that they have. So Satan has dangled this carrot in front of so many of them. And guess what? Not only Megan Fox, who we've already detailed, is quite clearly knows, who grew up in some sort of a Christian house where she recognizes that there is a hell, knows about it, not just in her subconscious mind, deep down knows about it. But Machine Gun Kelly, a lot of people don't realize that he was actually born into a missionary family. His father and his mother were missionaries in Egypt and all over the world, and they took him along. But sadly, at the age of 9, his own mother left their family. In fact, he writes songs about this, some pretty sad things that he writes about his own mother leaving them behind at the age of 9. And then eventually him at a young age finding rap and eventually finding fame in the rap game. But I want you guys to see, as he is describing back in 2012, he looks very different than he does today. But back in 2012, he's describing some of his tattoos. And I want you to see what he describes, the meaning behind, how he describes the meaning behind the tattoo that is covering most of his back.
Oh, the Salvador Dali piece I'm working on right here. Well, I guess everyone has their own, like, you know, take on that painting. And the way I saw it as almost like this Revelations type, like this Revelations type image, you know, like the four horsemen, you know, coming down and, you know, about to destroy the world. And I kind of saw the guy, you know, he has a cross up like this, we're kind of repenting for his sins almost. Like, and I kind of saw it as like, you know, like a man sees that, you know, about to go down, and he's kind of like, I've lived a dark life, and it's kind of like time that I make, like, I want to get right with myself before it hits the fan. So I mean, I think that's something I can definitely relate to, because I think, you know, like, when it all falls down, you know, all those sins and shit like that, you know, that all that bad shit I did, you know, it's at the end of the day, I was never happy I did that shit. So I think it's kind of like, when you have a chance to repent, you take it.
Take your chance to repent, not to yourself, not for forgiveness of yourself, but take the chance you have right now to repent. Because I want to warn you, the exact scenario that he has described right there, and he's describing through the tattoo on his back, the scenario of waiting until the very end to repent, that's actually given to us in Scripture. There is a very clear warning found in Luke, the 12th chapter, starting in verse 13. This is what Jesus has to say. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter over you?" Then he said to him, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you have prepared?' So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Machine Gun Kelly has a lot of the things that the world would prescribe for you, right? The famous, beautiful actress, right? You have the money, you have whatever you want, the fame. But ultimately what takes place is that you've stored up for yourself all these treasures, and you do not know when your last breath will be. The fact is that God holds your breath in his hand. And the Bible is very clear that this drug life, this sex, drugs, and rock and roll lifestyle, it says quite clearly in the book of Ecclesiastes, you fool, why shall you die before your time? These things are going to kill him. They come, and they come with a reckoning. And the sad thing is that if he does not repent, he will get precisely what he deserves. The fact is that each and every one of us will get what we deserve because God is a God of justice. And that is right. Each and every one of us. I don't have to ask somebody, have you ever told a lie in your whole life? I just have to ask, have you ever lied? And the fact is that you have, and I have, and multiple people have. And guess what? That makes you a liar. The fact is, I don't have to ask someone if they've ever put anything before God. If God was ever at any point in their life, not the most important thing, because the fact is they have, and they're idolaters. And guess what? If you break any of those commands, you're a lawbreaker. It doesn't matter how much good you've done in your whole life, because if you stood before a righteous judge, and that's exactly what the Bible describes God as, and you stood before a righteous judge, and you said, yeah, I broke these laws, but look at all the money I've given, right? If you kill somebody's grandma, and you stood before a judge and you said, yes, but I walk people across the street. I've given a lot of money to charity. He says, I don't care. I must judge you. And that's exactly what takes place in the court of God. And what happens is he looks at you and says, you are a lawbreaker. It doesn't matter what good you've done. You are a lawbreaker. And here's the reality. God is not only perfect, righteous, and perfect judge, but he's also perfect love. So when he looks at you as a lawbreaker, he also says in his love, I will provide a way of escape. I will provide the payment. That's why Jesus Christ on the cross said tetelestai, paid in full. Because all the crimes you committed were paid for on the cross. And now he requires something from you. He says you will pay for those very crimes you committed. Somebody's going to pay. And the fact is, you can pay for those crimes for all eternity, for the eternal crimes you committed against eternal God as a lawbreaker. Or you will put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will repent and turn to him. Fall on your knees before it's too late. Come to him. And when he sees you on judgment day, he will not see you and all your filthy, rotten, dirty crimes that I had, that you had, that everybody's had, as all have fallen short. But he will see his son Jesus, and he will know that your crimes have been paid for. I encourage you right now, turn to Jesus. Don't hope that you have time because you don't. Turn to Jesus right now so that he will not take your soul and say, your soul is required of you today. Pray for guys like Machine Gun Kelly. Pray for Megan Fox and all of these who have turned their lives over to Satan, that they would turn and repent and find hope in Jesus Christ. This has been Chad Davidson, and this is the 5:11 News.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 5:11 News.